opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Did you ever think in a million years we'd see a player average a triple-double while winning the scoring title? The minutes per game that Russell Westbrook plays, it's like 10 minutes less per game than Oscar Robertson was playing.
But James Harden plays more. He was leading the league in minutes the last time I looked, a couple of weeks ago.
He's also leading the league in turnovers.
That's a negative on Harden because it's a focus thing.
I think these guys are very similar. I just think Russell Westbrook's just a little bit better version of James Harden.
Unlike Gary Kubiak, O'Brien's already used up his 9 and 7s. Like Gary Kubiak did a 9 and 7, and it was like, dude.
And he's already fired all the guys around him.
Parade. He's already fired as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's already rode his 9 and 7.
And not only that,
there's no place to go.
He fired his offensive coordinator and said, I don't need another one. I got this. Dude, you've been the worst.
It's like he's trying to get fired. He may be the first coach who is both on the hot seat and doesn't want to be here.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, Jerome Solomon in on the Blitz. Hey, baseball is back in season with MLB The Show 17. Want a copy?
I've been playing that.
MLB The Show 17 PS4 video game. You like that?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Well, you're probably in the retro mode, as it says. You'll kick old school behind with Ken Griffith as the commentator.
No, I don't do that.
Ken's not the smoothest commentator.
He's not commentating. It's Harold Reynolds is commentating.
But you got to go to the old, the all
oh,
new
I haven't done that
retro
yet. Yeah,
mode.
I haven't done that yet. So
you got to get to the
why.
Retro mode. The MLB The Show pros will love the updated Diamond Dynasty. Or if you're short on time, you can play a quick 3-inning game. I know you're in the quickie. Road to the Show is bigger and better in the MLB The Show 17. Get out on the diamond now. MLB The Show 17 for PS4. Rated E for everyone. Have you been the baseball guy?
Yeah, I like
all the baseball games.
I like baseball video games, yeah.
Okay. Caller number 32 for the $32 robbery we talked about on the Gym of the Day.
My favorite sports video game isn't even sports. It's pro wrestling. I could care less about pro wrestling, like, in real life,
but on video,
but the video
works,
game
right?
is the best.
Yeah, 713-780 ESPN. Is the Undertaker on there?
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of Undertaker talk of late since he retired, I guess.
I've
never watched him wrestle.
Never saw him?
Never. No, I saw him, but I've never, because I don't watch wrestling.
Why don't you try to get him on our show?
I haven't talked to him in a long time. The last time I did reach out to do an interview with him, I was told that the Undertaker persona does not speak.
Oh.
So, but now that he's retired,
maybe he will.
Maybe my man Mark Calloway, who played high school basketball with me, for those of you who don't know. Well,
he didn't
exactly play. He was on the team.
One of the was he the tallest guy on the team? He's pretty tall, right?
Yeah, we had three or four tall white guys. He was one of them. He may have been the tallest.
The tall ginger.
He came off the bench. Yeah, he was like the last man. I mean, we had 12-man squad. He's like 11, 12 that year. He was a year behind me, so he was only a junior.
One of the coolest things that happened to me, and I could care less about pro wrestling, but I went back after I'd been here for a little while. I went back to Austin for a UFC event, and the Undertaker was in the front row, and someone introduced me to him, and he said, "You're AJ Hoffman." He's like, "I was so pissed when you left." He said, "I listen to your show all the time."
Cool.
And I was like, "That's the coolest thing." That the Undertaker used to listen to my show. That's pretty awesome. Pro wrestlers love my show. Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, used to always come in my studio and do the show with me. And he would practice his wrestling moves on me. But
that has to be a little disconcerting.
Yeah.
Because he could snap. He could snap me.
He would pick me up like a baby.
And yeah, he's a big dude.
A big dude.
He's a big, strong dude. Yeah.
He talked about one time he slammed a guy, and like in the ring, the guy crapped his pants.
That's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
No. Has that happened to you in UFC? Like anything close to that?
No.
What do you do when you have to go? You can't stop the fight.
Of course you can't. Like you just
go? Because I mean, it's very uncomfortable. You would lose if you tried not to go.
It's a maximum 15-minute fight.
But when you got to go, you got to go.
My longest fight is 4 minutes. I've never had to deal with like a bathroom break. You go before.
There have been millions of fights, millions of fighters. Somebody at one point had to go.
You go before. When my first fight, between the time I got to the arena and the time I fought, which was probably 2 or 3 hours, I pooped 3 times. It's because it was like all the nerves built up. Like, it was my first fight. I didn't know what to expect. I was very nervous. And when I get nervous,
and that
I have to
pot
poop.
Of beans you ate before you got to this arena didn't help you.
When I get nervous, I have to poop. So
that's a bad thing.
You know, the first couple of times, no big deal. The last time, though, my hands were already wrapped, so I couldn't wash my hands. And I was like, I kind of felt bad for the guy.
No wonder you won. You're hitting the guy with the poop glove.
I was like, man, I'm gonna be touching this guy's face with my poopy hands. It's pretty bad.
Wait a minute. So when you're nervous, you need to poop?
Yeah.
That's your nervous tick?
I mean, at least
tick?
In that instance, yeah.
Really? I'd never heard that one before. Yeah. I've heard people get nervous and they get jittery or shaky. Little kids will, you know, pee or something, but I never heard the poop. Nervous yeah. reaction. That's my
reaction.
That's pretty odd. Yeah. I'm serious.
I just get that grumble in my guts, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, you're a weird dude.
Yeah, I am.
AJ Hoffman, 713-780-ESPN. And obviously, you weren't able to use your wet wipes.
No.
In said situation
not the third
either.
Time. No. The first 2 times I did.
You carry them around with you?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I mean,
I pray that I never have to poop in public, but sometimes you do, and what am I going to use, the single-ply toilet paper? What am I, an animal?
No, you're not
come
an animal.
On.
You're something completely
I'm a
different.
Civilized human, sir.
You're not an animal at all. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Have you seen the story about the Coastal Carolina cheerleading squad?
Yeah, the horse.
See, that is people like you are causing the problem.
The alleged horse.
Okay, there are some among them who may not be whore.
Okay.
Right, but places like the Houston Chronicle, even on our website, HoustonChronicle.com, has posted a picture of the Coastal Carolina cheerleaders in their uniform from like 2 years ago. A whole crop of 15 or 20 of them who had nothing to do with said allegation.
Yeah, but
that's kind of unfair.
They banished the whole team, though, so they all get thrown in the same basket.
But fair or not. But like this one girl, she graduated 2 years ago. She's not with the team.
Well, that kind of sucks. You know, but was she whoring when she was there?
She knew nothing of the whoring.
Oh.
She's not whore-like whatsoever, she says. Now she has to... Her car has a Coastal Carolina cheerleader sticker on it. And people
you might want to take that
people
off.
People are honking their horn at her.
People are waving her down like a taxi cab.
That's got to be kind of disconcerting, you know? Now you're associated with, I mean, like, you know, when people run into you and you say, I'm at ESPN 97.5, and they go, oh, they wouldn't confuse you with Barry or punish you for Barry's ridiculousness, right?
No.
You only want to be punished for yourself.
For your own ridiculousness, ideally.
713-780-ESPN is your number. There was another cheerleader situation also beyond the coast of Carolina. The OU football player, did you see that from last week?
I feel like we talked about it. I don't remember the whole story.
Yeah, I think he was prostituting his
former
cheerleader.
That's what it
was. Former football player and a cheerleader, he's prostituting her.
Yeah.
And her mother is the cheerleading coach at OU currently.
Awkward.
That cannot be good
no.
for business that your daughter
no.
is out, you know. But at least,
they
didn't hold a knife to anybody's throat.
You know what? Everybody hopes their daughter isn't a whore, but all those whores have moms and dads. You know? Like, somebody's got to do it. Right?
Yeah.
It's a sad reality. Like, No one grows up thinking, oh, I hope my daughter's a whore when she grows up. But
I'm sure there are some people who
oh, yeah, there's some. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, they're not good parents.
Right. Oh, they're bad parents. But I'm sure there's good parents who want the best for their girls. But turns out,
she's just a hoe.
Hoe got a hoe.
Hoes got to eat, too.
That's right.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back into the show. Jerome Solomon subbing in for Fred today. Hit me on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, at AJ is the real for Hoffman. Degenerates 975 for the show. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I have a fighter. Didn't we already talk to him? Is that my imagination?
I think we did.
Yeah, I think we did. That's old news. What's your breakdown on the playoffs? I mean, I won't get to
on the NBA playoffs?
Wrap it up with you again before they get started this weekend. Do you think it's a fait accompli that it's the Heat? I mean, LeBron James is rolling through the East and the Warriors in the West, or is it?
Man, I have a hard time. Interesting. I have a hard time betting against the Cavs. I mean, the Celtics, what they've done is pretty amazing, but seven games in a row, I'll take LeBron's team over everybody. The team that I really am excited, there's two teams in the East that I think are kind of teams on the rise that I'm excited to watch this postseason and obviously seasons to come. The Wizards is one of them. Mm-hmm. I think the Wizards are kind of the dark horse in the Eastern Conference. That's a really talented bunch. And if they get hot, they could be a tough out. The Bucks are the other one. The Bucks are a pretty solid young team. They've got some impressive players.
And they're young. That's the thing.
Yeah. And they're going to keep getting better.
I can't see the Bucks winning seven-game series to get through.
Not yet.
But they might scare some people.
And honestly, while everyone's in a panic that the Cavs have fallen to the 2 seed, if I'm the Cavs, I'll take that. I'll give up a home series and play the Raptors in the second round instead of playing the Wizards in the second round.
It's a better matchup.
Yep.
And theoretically less work.
I mean,
you know, that's the thing. The Cavs aren't a regular season team. They're not playing for
what happens
in the regular season. LeBron's entire legacy is all about the postseason. I'm curious about the Warriors. I don't think there's any team that can really match up with them and give them a whole lot of trouble, but I thought any of the teams in the West had a shot, it would be they needed Kevin Durant to come back in the middle of the playoffs. So that he'd have a couple of games before he gets going, and then you might steal a win, and then all the stories will be, well, he's in the way because he's coming back in the chemistry and blah. Talking about anything other than actual basketball, and you might have a shot.
Yeah.
Beating him 4 times is going to be darn near impossible anyway, but he's already back now. And granted, they're not as good as they were a week ago before he came back, but a week from now, 2 weeks from now, when they finally have a chance to actually lose to somebody, it's just going to be disgusting.
They just lost yesterday, and you could tell, I mean, they're kind of mailing it in. They're playing a bunch of guys, and they're locked in for the playoffs, so they're rolling into the playoffs. But before that, they'd won 14 games in a row.
Yeah.
Like, kind of under the radar, they won 14 games in a row. And I know that's not a big deal after last year where they just didn't lose.
And those weren't close games. They weren't buzzer beaters. They were just whipping people.
They are far and away the best team. I mean, and I think the Spurs are really, really good. And it sucks saying that a 61-win team is like an afterthought. But I kind of think they are. I mean, if they would have to play the perfect series and catch the Warriors on an off series.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, you say the Spurs are really, really good. It's today's NBA. And by today, I don't mean this group of years and decades or generation. I'm talking about today, this season, this year's NBA. The Spurs are not a championship team.
Why not?
This group of Spurs just doesn't come across to me as a team that you go, oh, wow, that's
it's just because they haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying it will. They're sort of like that Piston squad that won a championship, to where if they hadn't won a championship, we wouldn't be sitting here going, man, that Piston squad really should have won a championship, but they just never did. Like, if these Spurs don't win a championship, we won't be going, they should have. I just don't think that they're
the difference between that Pistons
it's like
team
the
and
Rockets.
This team.
The Rockets are the third best team in the league. This is not a championship team. I mean, you know what I mean? But they could win a championship, but they're not.
The Spurs have
historically.
The Spurs have what the Rockets don't have, and what that Pistons team didn't have. They have star players, like more than one. The Spurs have three star players. You don't agree?
Those Pistons didn't have a superstar. Spurs have a superstar in Kawhi. But the Pistons had stars. They had some star players, but not a superstar.
That Pistons team didn't have one player that's as good as LaMarcus Aldridge.
I disagree with that.
Rashid?
Yeah. Rashid Wallace.
You think Rashid Wallace is a better player than LaMarcus Aldridge?
Rashid Wallace would stomp a mud hole in
I'm not talking
LaMarcus.
About who's a tougher guy. I'm talking about who's a better basketball player.
I'm talking about in basketball. I mean fight wise. He's a better player. And LaMarcus is a good player. I'm not dissing him as a player, but no, Rashid was ridiculous.
He was very good.
I think you're underestimating how really supremely talented Rashid Wallace was. But with that team, he wasn't standing out as the super superstar. But that team was pretty good. I'm more of saying that these Spurs are not a team that you could go, oh, if I put this team together 3, 4, 5 years ago, they would win a title. Or 10 years ago, I just don't see that. I think, and the same with the Rockets. I mean, they could win a title if, you know, a couple of guys breaks legs in Oakland or something, but they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And that's just the way this year is shaking out, but they're in the wrong conference.
With the Cavs not looking like a big threat, it almost feels like it's a foregone conclusion what's going to happen.
And the bigger problem with it in a way is not only that's foregone conclusion, it might not even be close.
Yeah.
I mean, the Warriors could smoke everybody. And good thing, at least they're entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fun to watch. I don't, you know, they can pull off some sweeps here and still be fun to watch, but it'll be more entertaining, obviously, if they get up against it and lose a home game early in a couple of these series. And we'll see how the Rockets and Spurs, that may be the best series in the entire playoffs if those two teams match up, because they're really close. They play each other very well, and I'm pretty sure you'll see Kawhi Leonard jump on James Harden, you know, midway through the third quarter in every game, and we'll see if James can handle it.
By the way, statistically, Rashid Wallace isn't even close to LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, well, stats. Okay. You know, stats are stats. I mean, come on.
Points, rebounds, assists, blocks, nothing.
Yeah, but that's the game's changed. See, Rashid would torture him.
Okay, I disagree.
Torture him. He's much better defender, for one, and he's tougher. I like LaMarcus, but no, Rashid. Okay. Ooh, man.
I don't disagree that Rashid is a better defensive player than him, mm-hmm. and tougher than him, but I don't think he's a better. I won't say he's a better player, because LaMarcus is LaMarcus has touch. LaMarcus is like a skilled big, and Rashid. No one was calling Rashid a skilled big man.
Huh?
What was Rashid's range?
No one was calling him a skilled big man. What if the only skill you consider a big man is range? No, he wasn't draining three-pointers, but LaMarcus isn't just draining them either. I mean, so let's not act like he's out there. You know, he's not Dirk Nowitzki or something.
No,
I mean,
he's
come
not.
On. He's not even, I mean, he's an above-average player, but he's not.
I'll also take a seven-footer who's 80% from the line. That helps.
Well, line don't lie. Yeah. You know, and even though, you know, Rashid butchered that by saying ball don't lie. Got it wrong. That's not how we say it in Texas, anyway. This is The Blitz. We'll be back in a minute. The
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Sam Houston Race Park. Win a four-pack of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park to join Fred Fowler in the special ESPN section. You'll enjoy a complimentary buffet while you watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park. This Friday, April 14th, from 8 until 10 p.m., we'll play a handicapping contest through races 5 through 10. This week's winner will get four tickets to the summer concert of their choice from the Sam Houston Race Park Summer Concert Series. The fun never ends at Sam Houston Race Park. 713-780-3776. To caller number 8. I'll make it easier on the phone boys here. Oh, Sweet Lou decides he wants to weigh in on something we were talking about a second ago. Lou, welcome to the Blitz. Talk to me.
Hello.
Hey now.
You're on, Lou. Start talking. Okay. Start being embarrassed after we hung up on you now, Lou. That's all right, Lou. He's probably going to agree with you. It sounds like one of your kind of callers. It was Rasheed and LaMarcus.
Oh, okay.
And again, that's one of those too where I know I'm right, but I don't. That doesn't mean you're wrong because I'm just a huge Rasheed Wallace fan.
Yeah, Rasheed's a good player. Yeah. He's underrated too.
Yeah, neither one of us is saying the other guy can't play.
No.
Yeah.
I told you during the break. I was like, I'm a big LaMarcus Aldridge guy. I always have been. So. I'm not saying your argument is foolish.
Yeah, he got robbed on the All-Star game this year too.
That's sad.
I mean, yeah, he's got to be one of the top 25 players in the league.
It's
not even debatable.
Doubt.
Yeah. So he should be a perennial All-Star until he's not anymore. John, welcome to the Blitz. Start talking.
What's up, sports guys?
Sports to you.
Oh man. First of all. I know Fred's not there, but great show today. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
I do agree that, I don't know, I think the Spurs can, topple Golden State this year. It's going to take a lot of work, but I think they can. The thing I wanted to weigh in, or wanted you guys to weigh in on, is this whole Myles Garrett thing. I went to A&M. I graduated from A&M. I think he's just, I don't know. I think I got to commend him for not going on the show and you know, taking the trash talk. I mean, he's got a right to defend himself, but I mean, he doesn't have to. That doesn't make him a wuss for not defending himself. What do you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, I think that not going on a show because you got some criticism is a little bit weak, but I also understand right now he's in a business phase where, you know, he's trying to maximize his value on draft day.
Right.
And I could really care less what Mike and Mike think. I care a lot more what the Cleveland Browns think.
Yeah, what do you gain from it right now? You know, it's one of those – this is a bad example because he's not in this situation. He's going to get paid. He's going to get drafted very high. But if you're in an interview for a job and, you know, one of the people who worked there and who was in the position to hire you – has an opinion that you strongly disagree with, is it really worth fighting and arguing with a guy over that before you get the job kind of a thing? It's just not.
No.
You know? You got really nothing
to gain. What's the upside?
And there's no upside for him going through it. And if anybody would just call him a wuss for not taking it, if I knew for a fact that he was afraid of the discussion about his ability,
yeah,
then I'd go with you. But if it's just he goes, nah, I'd rather not be bothered with that, or even my people told me there's nothing to gain from it, because then most people who pay attention to the NFL draft, and sadly there's a lot of you people who do, not, unlike you who are in Aggie, they've never heard of Myles Garrett until the last few weeks. They don't know anything about him, and that was their introduction to him yesterday or whenever it was when he was at ESPN. A lot of people were just being introduced to him, and they would have woke up at 6 in the morning, and he's yelling on with Booger McFarlane over something silly, and they go, oh, I don't like that guy. And he is a very likable guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't have a problem with him not doing it. I do think they should have handled it better. They should have let ESPN know before he got there. I'm not doing that. I'll come in and do the rest of the stuff.
y'all still want me or not.
Yeah. Kendall says, what have you seen Pop change or elevate for Aldridge since becoming a Spur, and what will the Spurs do for his future? I don't know. I mean, I think Aldridge just kind of stepped into that Tim Duncan role. But as far as what they're going to do for his future, I mean, it depends on what's important. And this is why I think LaMarcus went to the Spurs, because he feels that championships are important for his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because LaMarcus Aldridge was King Bleep up in Portland.
Yeah, he was
the best player on the team, yeah. Made a bunch of money. The other great player on the team was literally, his one job was to make LaMarcus look great. I mean, they had a perfect pairing, Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus gave that up and became, I don't want to say he became a secondary player, but he's not the best player on this team. And he doesn't care. LaMarcus isn't about that. LaMarcus is about winning. And I think as long as he wins a title, that's what the Spurs did for his future. That the Spurs didn't, it's kind of like Kevin Love. Kevin Love was king in Minnesota. He was, you know, far and away the best player on the court. They were never going to win there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What did the Spurs do for his future? They put him into the second and third round of the playoffs every year.
They gave him a chance to win a championship.
They put him
eventually
on national TV regularly.
Which was never going to happen in Portland. As much as I love Damian Lillard, as much as I love LaMarcus,
there was nothing else
there. Yeah. Like Nick Batum wasn't enough to put them over. And honestly, I think it also speaks to LaMarcus isn't the kind of player who can be the best player on a championship team. And there's no knock to that.
Right.
You know, Kyrie Irving's not the kind of player who can be the best player on a championship team. He's still pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
He'll be a player that if he's not on your team, you're not a championship team. As in the Cleveland Cavaliers would not have won the title last year without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I mean, and that makes you very important.
Russell Westbrook and James Harden, probably not good enough to be the best players on championship teams.
I think they are by the way that they – because they play a lot different than a Kyrie Irving. But the difference between the best player and the second best player on the team need to be a little bit tighter.
Because
like right now, James Harden is so much better than the second best Rocket. And Westbrook is so much better than the second best Thunder player. I mean, that gap needs to be a lot closer than it was. I mean, and think about it. When that gap was tighter just a couple of years ago, James Harden was in the conference final. You know, and that gap was tighter with, you know, a mental weak link, generally speaking, in Dwight Howard. So, they can be the best player on the team, but they need plenty of help. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And when we come back, we'll get back to a little bit of NFL. There's a – doesn't matter to me, but maybe AJ is interested in the most likely team to be on Hard Knocks is
– I love that show.
Out and about. I love that show, too, but we'll talk about it when we come back. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. Jerome Solomon, the Chronicle, subbing in today. It's been fun thus far.
Good job today.
Thank you, thank you. I've had worse days. I've had better. You know, it's been fun. It's always a good time when I come in here. I mentioned before we went out on break. Like Hard Knocks, you love that show. I love it too. The butt that I left hanging was, but it really doesn't matter who is on, who the team is almost. It's not the same year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, it is different because the personalities are different, but they have the guy who you're going to get to know his name because he is barely going to make the team or not going to make it. And you have a personality here or there. It's more about the coaches, but it doesn't matter to me what team it is. It's, you know, that show has done so well
that it's been pretty good with everybody. In fact, I think the Texans may have been the weakest one.
The lame season.
But it was probably lame because I knew
more.
If I didn't know anything about the Texans, I'd probably been more entertaining.
I think you're probably right. Who's the front runner?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I don't know if that does anything for me.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it matters, you know?
Okay.
They don't have any, you know, names that jump out. Obviously, Jameis Winston will get, you know, plenty of attention. But
if he were to commit crime while on the show, well, that would be awesome.
If we can just break out some lobster.
Yeah.
You know, some crab legs.
Crab legs.
Yeah, we get some crab legs and Winston, it'll come up.
Yeah.
How could it not? I mean, you know. But he's entertaining. I do kind of like his persona and how he carries himself around the team from what we see when we see the behind the scenes or locker room stuff. You know, he's got some, you know, some stuff to him that I think makes him a good quarterback type of guy. And this is a year where, you know, he's but you know, good spot for him to take another step forward in those terms.
Well, he's getting towards being like a top level quarterback.
Yeah, he's the dude can play. I mean, he's an unusual type of an athlete in that, you know, he's not super fast or he's not that guy. The nerve of him not being fast and he's black.
Yeah,
but you know,
slow black guys. I've never understood that.
Trying to sit there and play in the pocket. I don't know what the heck he's trying. He set the whole race back.
Yeah. Doesn't he know what he's supposed to do? Like what we've pigeonholed you, bro.
I mean, if you're gonna be a big black dude, you need to be faster than all the little white dudes. It's as simple.
You're getting
as
run
that.
Down by white linebackers. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
What's your mom and them name?
Who else do they have? Like, who's the other? I mean, I guess Mike Evans is. Gerald McCoy is probably their best player.
Mike Evans is a great and interesting story for people who haven't paid attention. So he'll tell you what's interesting about Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is a great receiver, but probably the best receiver of all receivers who suck at catching a football. He's like, that dude does everything else better than everybody. It's that whole catching the football thing just throws him for a loop.
But that's one of those things, though, and I get it. I know you're half joking, but yeah, he'll drop some. But that's one of those things that changed, I think, in you know, about the mid-90s or so, they started getting these big, bad dudes who played basketball, not football, who, you know, don't have great hands, but they can get open. And when they do catch it, there's nothing you can do except take it. So, I mean, T.O. would drop one every now and then. And he had major drop issues early on, but he was ridiculous. Jerry Rice couldn't catch the ball when he came into the league.
Yeah.
You know, didn't know if he's going to make it because he had drops, but my goodness.
But you know what the difference between
Mike... They can't be covered.
The difference between Mike Evans and those two guys you just mentioned, well, I mean, obviously there's a lot. You mentioned two of the best ever.
Today, yeah. Right.
But those dudes came to the NFL without playing big-time college football. And, like, guys like Mike Evans...
He went to A&M.
Come on. I expect Mike Evans.
You got to get one cheap Aggie shot in a day.
I felt it. I guess those kind of guys I more expect to be more ready than guys coming from Chattanooga Community College.
But Jerry Rice didn't play big time. But back then, that league, the SWAC, was a lot better than you're giving
for sure.
it credit. Oh, no question. And in fact, I did a thing.
League with no whites? It had to be awesome.
I did a thing over at TSU last week, in fact, with three former TSU football players. And these guys played TSU in the late 60s and early 70s. And, you know, what I'm said specifically, there was a stretch of time from, you know, the mid 60s to early 70s that there were more players drafted from the SWAC than from, you know, major conferences that didn't allow black players up in many of those conferences until the last year or two of the 60s and some of them into the 70s, you know. So that was different. And with Jerry Rice, I mean, I saw Jerry Rice play in college. They threw the ball like, you know, these teams throw the ball now. There was a lot of passes thrown his way. It wasn't for a lack of catches that, you know, his hands were an issue. It's just it was something about his first year or two in the league that he, you know, he had some drops. And, you know, they, but I think with the Mike Evans, it's more of these big guys who used to not play receiver playing receivers, and they don't have soft hands. Andre Johnson didn't have soft hands.
Yeah.
He had manly, he got manly hands. He grabbed the ball. He, you know, they abused the football as much as catch it, you know, softly and smoothly, you know, like these little bitty receivers do. You know, it's, you got to caress the ball.
Love the ball.
You got, if you don't love the ball, it won't love you back.
That's right. Quickly before we get out of here, I got a, this LaMarcus would get owned by Wallace, but Portland Aldridge would smash Rasheed. Like, y'all really think LaMarcus's game fell off that far in 2 years? Come on, man.
Yeah.
The role has changed.
What was that, John? Okay. Yeah, no, the Marcus game hasn't fallen off.
No.
And no, it, and Portland, well, the Portland LaMarcus that played the Rockets in the playoffs a couple of seasons ago, that one would smash everybody in the history of the NBA there for a stretch.
He'd smash Dwight Howard. Yeah, he did.
All right. Thanks, AJ, for smashing me with your socks on.
Good time, man.
You guys, appreciate it, John. We'll catch you tomorrow with the Blitz.
ESPN 97.5.